this is my weekly podcast, Adventures with Postpartum Depression, a show dedicated to sharing stories and spreading awareness about maternal mood disorders. For show notes and more information, please go to my website, ppdadventures.com. There's also a Facebook page, facebook.com/ppdadventures. And now, on to the show. Hello, adventurers! This is episode 73. This is our first episode since I did the audio version of my memoir, Adventures with Postpartum Depression. Hey, you know what? You find a title you like, you stick with it. It's okay if it works for a podcast and a book. I am back this week with an interview with the lovely Rita, who will be telling her story of postpartum depression and anxiety. But a couple of things to catch you up on. First, I thought I was going to get you an episode last week, but I was in Nebraska, and it's, you know, I have to keep relearning the same lessons, that vacation is not vacation with children. I thought I'd learned this lesson. I thought I'd learned it repeatedly, but we went to Las Vegas at the beginning of June for a family reunion of my side of the family. And Las Vegas is only, gosh, it's less than a 5-hour drive from Pasadena. And, you know, with kids, it's faster without kids. And the kids were so easy. Like, Julian napped extensively. Pippa napped extensively. They were just, like, chill. They were happy to listen to music and talk in the car. And then it was a true vacation because we're at a hotel and we just go downstairs and there's a pool and we don't have to wash the towels and we get unlimited towels at the pool. And it was just, and there was so many family around the whole time that it was just ridiculously easy. And it was a vacation. So then I went into Nebraska thinking it was going to be a vacation again. And it was not. It was actually harder than being at home. It was well worth it. Saw lots of family. The kids had a blast. They got lots of good time with their with Nathan's parents and with their cousins. So worth the work. But it was tough because I went in with the mindset of vacation, and then I didn't have to just adjust down to like, oh, this is normal life. Like, no, it was harder than normal life because we ended up having to, you know, we have the airplane flight, which is just more difficult than a car because you don't have control. And then we had three different locations. We stayed at one location, then another, and then we went back to the first location. So we had to just keep unpacking and repacking, which is just tough. Like, it was a mental drain trying to remember, like, what do I need? Where is it? You know, losing stuff. We left Pippa's toothbrush and toothpaste at the first location, so she was brushing with a finger for several days. And, you know, and these are just minor things, but it's just, it all accumulates. And the kids don't have their toys, and they're at places where it's not our house, so it hasn't been childproofed. And we don't have our DVR. You know, you don't have the things that the kids are used to. So me and Nathan were both working harder just to get our kids to not even be as good as they usually are. Because they're out of sorts. They're not at home. I mean, Julian every day was just at some point crying to me, I want to go home. Because he doesn't understand. This is temporary. This is 9 days. This is not vacation. This is, we're seeing family and this is an adventure and we're going home. He didn't get that. He's like, I want my bed. I want my stuffed animals. I want my pillows. And he just, so he, you know, we were working harder than we would work at home to have the kids not even be as easy as their usual selves, just to be at a level where we didn't want to like throw them out the window. So it was a lot of work. It was a huge mental adjustment for me. And now that I got there, it's like, okay, next year I will be mentally prepared for hell. And one of these years it will be easier and it will be like, oh my gosh, the kids have grown up to this point where this is not hell. But I'm just going to go in assuming like this is going to be hard as fuck. And welcome to the podcast if this is your first time listening. I swear like a sailor sometimes. But I just have to go in with that mindset. And so it made me think a lot about expectations and how so often if I go into a situation expecting, expectations, is a balancing act. Because on the one hand, if I go into something negative, I'm in a bad mood, and then everything that sort of goes a little awry, just like a teeny, teeny bit, feels like a catastrophe. And if I go into something feeling upbeat and like, yay, go with the flow, everything, even when those little things go wrong, it just doesn't feel like that big a deal. So having a positive attitude is, and like a go with the flow mentality really works well for me. But I also have to adjust my expectations. And if I go into a situation thinking, Like, if I go to the grocery store and think, okay, the kids are going to whine and Pippa's going to get in front of the cart and she's going to like crash into a stranger and, you know, like go in expecting like my kids are not going to be great. Then when they're actually well behaved, I'm pleasantly surprised and I'm like, wow, this was an easy trip to the grocery store. Whereas if I go into the grocery store thinking they're going to be little angels and then they like, you know, almost knock over the holiday display. Then it's just like, ugh, like you're not only dealing with the, you know, the problems that kids create, but you're also just readjusting your mindset. So I don't know, I haven't figured this out. I'm still working on it, the balance of a positive attitude with realistic expectations. Motherhood, something that I'm realizing is you're never going to figure motherhood out. At least I'm not. I'm going to master a stage and I'm going to have like a few days where I can hit the cruise control button and then the geography and topography and the climate and all of it just suddenly explodes and changes. You know, motherhood is not just a journey. It is like the most epic adventure of your of that possible. Because it's not like you go to the North Pole and you're at the North Pole. It's like you're at the North Pole and you're sledding and you're tobogganing and you've got the dogs, you know, and whatever. I don't even know these fancy words. And then suddenly the next day you're in the Sahara. I mean, like, it is just like you go from, you know, Arctic to Sahara, and then without warning, it's like, holy shit, it's a jungle. I mean, like, that is how motherhood just changes and shifts on you. And so I'm realizing the only thing I can learn is that I'm always learning. The only thing I can expect is that something is always going to just like explode in my face. Like, I think the trick to motherhood for me is getting my mind around the fact that I'm never going to understand it, that I'm never going to master it. Like, this isn't like eighth grade pre-algebra where you're going to look, figure it out and you're going to understand, like, oh, the letters represent numbers. And like, you know, boom, you're set and now you understand it. It's like, no, motherhood is just always evolving. And all you can do is learn how to go with the flow and also understand that you're going. I think for me, I have to understand and accept that I'm going to hit bottom again and again and again. And I don't want to like overwhelm anyone who's listening and you have depression or anxiety because that is like, I've never hit bottom again like I did when I had postpartum depression, anxiety, and OCD. That mental illness for me was an all new bottom. But I think people think they're going to figure life out. And once you have kids, you realize, oh, like this is an adventure. And you might master one phase and then you have like a nice, easy phase. And then you're going to have a whole new challenge. So it's something I'm working on and thinking through and writing a lot about and reflecting on. So, okay. That was Nebraska. We're back. Julian is at preschool camp right now, and it's his last day of preschool camp. And then I have him home. So I'm recording this on July 12th. I have him home till the end of August. So we'll have lots of mommy son time. But I still have my babysitter, so I'll still be doing the show. I have an interview for you today with Rita coming up soon. I have another interview for you next week, and I have at least, oh my gosh, I think I have two interviews scheduled, maybe three. You know, when you're scheduling with mamas, it's an adventure because you're dealing with my schedule and you're dealing with their unexpected schedules, and you never fully know. So, you know, like today's interview, you're gonna hear the 2-year-old in the background, and that's okay. We're doing our best here. This is a mom interviewing moms. If you're listening and you're thinking you'd like to do an interview and share your story on the show, that's great. You're in. I don't care. You know, we can figure out all of your nap issues, babysitter issues. You don't need to hire a babysitter to do this. If your kid wakes up, that's mom life. I totally understand. So, a couple other things of the matters of interest that I want to note before we jump into this week's interview. Graham Seabrook has been on the show before, and she runs the Mom Center, which is a coaching center for moms, and she has a new program starting in September called Recovering from Recovery. It starts this September 2018, and it's a 12-week program for survivors of maternal mental illness. If you've made it through the crisis point but are unsure of how to move forward into a fully healed life, this is the program for you. Only 10 spots will be available, and it's a coaching program, and I will have this in the show notes if you want to check it out to see what's going on with this 10-person coaching program. It's Recovering from Recovery, and I've had people who've emailed me specifically about tips for, you know, I've gotten through the darkness, and I feel like I've recovered from depression or postpartum anxiety, but what do I do now? And this, what do you do now? Consider this program. So, okay, I will have that in the show notes, and I'm sure I will be mentioning this again in future episodes because I think Grandma's is just an awesome coach out there, so I'd like you guys to know about her. Coming soon, I am reading a book right now called Birth of a New Brain, Healing from Postpartum Bipolar Disorder. It's by Diane Harwood. I think I'm less than 10 pages in and I'm already just in love, love, love with the book. So it's available on Amazon. I'll have that in the show notes for you. And Diane is going to be a guest on the show really soon. I've got the interview scheduled. I think it's in 2 weeks we're doing the interview. So I think the episode will be up by the end of July 2018. So if you want to read the book before you hear the interview, I'm just giving you that warning now and you could go buy the book. And I was just on Amazon and they said only 7 copies left, more coming soon. So go order your copy if you want to read it. But you know, these interviews, you can always hear the interview first and then read the book later. But I'm already like less than 10 pages in and I've already learned so much about bipolar disorder that I didn't know before. And I really like the writing style. So that's a great book. Okay, I think I have hit on everything that I need to cover. I sound a little hyped up. I just got a lot of energy, also known as caffeine. I just got back from Target and oh my gosh, it's July and they are already setting up the back to school display. And I got really excited about that, like ridiculously excited, like took a picture and going to go post that on Instagram and way too excited about seeing the back to school display at Target. But you know, I love school supplies. They make me happy or much happier than, you know, Christmas decorations. So, all right, I will see you on the other side. And here is the lovely Rita.
Okay.
Hi, Rita. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Courtney.
And for our listeners out there, Rita is actually local to me in the Pasadena area. And we met before. Our schedules are very different because she went back to work. But we met before at my support group.
Yes, that is correct. On one of your Thursdays, the support group meetings.
So how old is your, is it a boy? I can't remember. I'm so bad at these things.
Yes, a boy. His name is Apex. He's going to be 2 in 2 weeks.
2 in 2 weeks. Oh my goodness. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks. I can't believe how fast time flies. It's crazy. I think about that constantly. I tell my husband constantly that, oh my goodness, how is it that he went from not being able to do anything to now he's walking and running and jumping and just doing all these things by himself. I don't even know how that happened.
So,
flies.
How are you feeling these days now that he's nearly two? I know you've experienced postpartum depression, but where are you at right now in your journey?
Right now, I actually feel pretty good. I don't know if it's because now that he's older, he's able to be a little bit more independent, and maybe it's also with the help of medication. I don't know. I just do find that things are easier now, which is good because I don't like to stress out. I used to stress out so much, and now I just feel like, you know, it's easier, so I feel happier.
When did things start to not feel good? Did it start with, like, pregnancy or after you gave birth?
For me, I've had history with depression before I was even pregnant. So I remember before I was pregnant, I remember talking to my therapist, asking her questions about, oh, you know, could my depression be passed on and stuff like that. I wasn't thinking so much as what would happen during my pregnancy or the postpartum. I was just more worried about if it's going to be passed on to my child. And then I remember having to get off medication to prepare to getting pregnant. And while I was pregnant, because it happened so fast, that I all of a sudden was not ready. All of a sudden, I felt like, oh my gosh, I think I made a mistake. I was still, you know, being treated for depression. And I feel like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not good myself yet. How can I bring a child into this world if I don't know how to deal with myself? Like, how would I be able to teach this child and so on? And so during the whole pregnancy, pretty much I was living with anxiety. I was living with, oh my gosh, I don't think I'm going to be a good mom. I was always worried about this. I was always worried about that. So that was, the whole thing was difficult. And then after that, after my son came, it was almost instant that I just didn't feel the connection. I was just always crying, thinking that I made a mistake and everything. It was terrible.
Did while you were pregnant, were you still seeing a therapist?
No, during pregnancy, I was not.
Okay. Did you ever tell your obstetrician about how you felt, or did your obstetrician ever bring up mental health concerns?
I did bring it up to my OB. I said I was worried about having postpartum depression. And so he was aware that depression was an existing condition for me. But we didn't really go into detail as to what to expect. So he was just basically made aware of the situation, and that was it. We didn't really talk about it.
Ugh, and now here I am trying to not like throw my computer through the wall.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to suppress my rage right now. I hate
Oh.
when they don't like you've brought it up and it's his job to like be like, well, let's make an action plan and let's prepare for this. And instead it was kind of glossed over.
Yeah, I think maybe because he wasn't entirely, because I guess it's not his field, really. So I know I had brought it up, and I remember mentioning it to him, because we have to do the postpartum appointments and stuff. And I would bring it up to him. And I think the first time I brought it up, he didn't really do anything. And I think it was the very last appointment that I had with him. I was like, look, like, I'm having problems right now. And I know that this is supposed to be a big issue that you're supposed to do something about it, because I read it in books. So I kind of just like, yeah, we need to address this. So that's when he finally pulled me aside back into his office, and then, got me his, I guess he had a list of psychiatrists that I can go see. So I got a referral, and I went to go see a psychiatrist, which I didn't find helpful. Yeah, so I mean, we did address that. I mean, he did address that. I guess that's what he's supposed to do. So I went to see a psychiatrist. What didn't help, and then I went back to seeing a therapist after I stopped breastfeeding, actually, because I knew that I didn't want to be on medication while I was breastfeeding. So I waited. Even I just kind of sucked it up with whatever feelings that I had, and I thought that, giving my child the most natural nutrient, that was more important thing to me instead of my own mental health and my well-being. I put my son before me. So I did that, and like I said, I waited until I stopped breastfeeding to start taking medication again.
So how long did you breastfeed for?
Not very long, only 7 months.
That's a long time.
I really wanted to do a whole year, but at first, from the beginning, I wasn't producing enough milk. And so that in itself was a challenging, very stressful event for me. So I just did as much as I could, but like I said, I wanted initially 1 year, but I just didn't have the production, so I stopped at 7 months.
So those 7 months before you went on medication, and well, how did you feel that first month or two before you even saw a psychiatrist?
How did I feel about that?
Or no, like
Well, I knew.
how you were feeling, like what was postpartum depression and anxiety like for you?
Oh, gosh. I was just constantly crying. I was crying thinking that I made a mistake. I was crying because I thought, why is it that I don't know what is it that my baby wants? I thought moms are supposed to be connected to their child. And I didn't feel that, and I didn't know what to do. And I thought that being a mom, because the whole connection thing, I thought I had the magic touch. You know, I thought that when my son was crying, if I picked him up and just held him, like, he would stop because he would feel safe in my arms. But he didn't. I'm thinking, like, oh, my goodness, I'm so terrible at this. Just everything. I probably had this ideal situation going on in my head, thinking that, okay, this is what's supposed to happen, but it didn't. So I was just constantly thinking that I was a bad mom. I didn't know what I was doing and, you know, that kind of stuff. And then I was scared to leave the house whenever we needed something. And then my husband would say, okay, I'll go get it. And I would always tell him, okay, try to hurry up. And try to get back home as fast as you can. I mean, drive safe, but be home as fast as you can, because I was just so scared. I was just so nervous about everything. I was nervous being with the baby by myself, and because I was afraid that something would come up and I wouldn't know what to do. It was just so challenging. I was scared to just take him out for a walk around the block. Just felt like it would have been such a big production just to get him out of the house, put him in the car seat, put in the stroller, that kind of stuff. So I just avoided going out.
Were you able to sleep during all this?
Well, the sleep, well, because I was breastfeeding, I wasn't really breastfeeding. I was mainly pumping. My son was exclusively bottle fed. I would just wake up every few hours to pump. So because of that, I wasn't sleeping well.
And
besides that, I could sleep like pretty much whenever. So I didn't have problems sleeping. It's just that I knew that I was on a schedule that I had to get up every few hours.
Mm-hmm. What about eating? Were you able to eat?
I would say for the first month, I couldn't eat. I was just always so stressed out that I couldn't eat. I would forget to eat sometimes because I feel like, oh my goodness, the baby's going to wake up any minute now. You know, it's like I'm always watching him. So I ended up losing, I think I was losing weight in the first month because I didn't eat a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And then since I was breastfeeding him, my husband would say, you really need more calories. So he was actually encouraging me to eat all the junk food, like ice cream and chocolate and stuff like that. He's like, you need the calories. And I was just, no, I don't feel like eating. I was just so stressed out.
So when all this was going on, did you realize that this was postpartum depression, or was it something more, did it take longer to realize, like, oh, this is happening? Well, I know you told your doctor.
I kind of knew, but I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually didn't know about the anxiety part. I didn't know what I was feeling and what I was going through was kind of anxiety related until much later on I read books about it or a documentary, and then it dawned on me, oh my gosh, that's what I was going through. Oh my goodness, I have anxiety. I didn't know I have anxiety. So that was kind of news to me.
Yeah, when I had anxiety, I always just thought, like, this is how all moms feel.
And I think I actually have grown up with anxiety because I just get nervous about a lot of things, and I never knew that's what that was. I just thought that I worry a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what I always thought, was just that I worry a lot. I didn't think that I was someone with anxiety.
So then how bad did things get before that? You went on medication, right?
Yes, eventually I did. Uh-huh.
How bad did things get between, you know, telling your OB and going to a psychiatrist and not being helpful before you actually started taking medication?
You know, I kind of regret feeling what I felt, but I remember there were so many times I would think, how would I feel if I didn't have my son right now? Like, for whatever reason, if he wasn't in my life right now, how would I feel? How would I be? And for a long time, I just thought, I think I would be okay. Like, my life would just go back to normal, which is fine with me. I didn't think that I would miss him that much. I just thought I probably wouldn't feel anything about it. And I would imagine just like, oh, what if something would have happened to us while we were out driving? You know, something happens and like I said, if I lose him for whatever reason, how would I feel? And for a long time, I just like, I think I would be okay. Or sometimes I drop him off at daycare and for whatever reason that I feel that there was not a connection and I get my feelings hurt and I would think, maybe I just won't go pick him up. And I thought about maybe even abandoning him and I thought, how would I feel about that? And for a long time, I feel kind of numb, like nothing. Like, I would feel totally okay. I mean, now is a different story, but back then it was just like, yeah, I could totally imagine him not being in my life right now. I would totally be fine. Which, now thinking back, I really feel really, really guilty about that. That makes me feel like I'm just such a terrible, terrible person.
Yeah, I had to work on all those intrusive thoughts about, you know, I'd had intrusive thoughts about hurting Pippa and had to work with my psychologist about how it's not your thoughts. Like, it's chemical. It's the way your brain's firing. It wasn't you that had, because you never abandoned your son. So you may have had those thoughts and those feelings.
Right, right.
But the person you are is your actions.
Yeah, I never thought of harming my child. I just was imagining, what if something would have happened to us,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, he gets killed or something like that. I know that's a terrible, terrible thought to be thinking, but that was something that actually crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm. So, at what point did you watch the documentary, When the Bow Breaks?
Yes, I did. And that was such a powerful documentary. And that was actually part of the reasons why, well, I would say the main reason why that I decided that I wanted to do a weekend support group, because yours is only available on weekdays and that I'm not able to make.
Right. So you went back to work. Like, at when postpartum did you have to go back to work?
I gave myself 12 weeks because I thought that was what I was entitled to from work. So I went back to work right after 12 weeks.
Were you glad to go back to work or was it difficult?
You know, it was interesting. Before I had my son, I always thought, man, it's going to be so hard to go back to work. You know, because you just want to spend time with your child. But actually, when I was at home during maternity leave, I was actually thinking, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to go back to work. I just want my life to go back to normal, you know? I have like a set routine of some sort. So I was actually looking forward to going back to work. I know that sounds awful too, but that was how I felt. And when I did go back to work, it was just like the mom life didn't exist, kind of like I just, you know, focused on work. I didn't think about anything. I mean, from time to time, of course, I'll think about my son, but it was just, oh, what a relief. I felt so free. I felt normal again.
You're just saying so many things that I'm frantically writing things down for the show notes because you're saying so many truths that so many for so many moms out there.
Okay.
So, you go back to work at 12 weeks postpartum, 7 months you end breastfeeding, and so at what point did you go on medication?
I want to say it was pretty much right after that.
And how did it feel? Like some moms, it takes months of tinkering to feel better, but others, it's like a boom boom immediate reaction. Where did you end up?
Okay, well, so with that in itself was a little bit challenging for me because I felt a little bittersweet when I stopped breastfeeding or when I stopped pumping milk, because I felt like I was of use of some sort to my son. And then after I stopped breastfeeding, or when I knew that it was going to be my last pump session, I got really sad thinking like, oh, I'm not going to be providing him the nutrients that he's going to need. And I'm not useful anymore. And so, yeah, it was a little bit sad for me to stop breastfeeding and then to go back on the pills. But I did think also, well, you know, I really need to get better. I cannot live like that because I was just very irritable by that time. Everything was irritating to me at work. You know, just every single thing was a trigger. Mm-hmm. No matter what people were saying and stuff, I was just so irritable. And I did not like myself then for being that way. So I was also looking forward to going back to be on the pills because I wanted to be regulated, if you will, to be a little bit more manageable and maybe someone who other people can deal with.
Did you decide to end breastfeeding in part so that you could start feeling better?
It was a little bit of both. It was, my milk just was not coming in. For some odd reason, like 3 or 4 months in, my milk production was reduced by half. And it was already very little to begin with. And it started to just plummet. And so my last resort was to rent the hospital-grade breast pump to see if that would help, and that didn't even help. So that's when I decided, well, if this is not even going to help bring the production up, then why am I still going to do this? It's just wasting my time, because I was doing it like I was trying to do it every 2 to 4 hours just to help increase the milk supply, and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And it was just so much effort for very little return. So I just thought, no, this is so not worth it. So I stopped, and then that was the perfect time to get back on the pill. So.
And then you started taking medication for the postpartum depression?
Yes, I started taking, I don't know if there's medication for postpartum depression specifically or just depression overall, but I just went back on to taking the same pills that I was taking prior to I got pregnant.
Oh, okay. And so you already knew what your dose was, so did it help pretty quickly?
I think so. I think so. It did help. But it's been a while, so I don't really remember. But yeah, I just wasn't as irritable as I was compared to when I was not on the pills right after I gave birth. So definitely a change.
And did you go back to seeing your therapist at some point?
I did, but that didn't last long. That's probably another subject for another time, but I did see her maybe once or twice, and that was it.
Okay, so, but you did the anxiety, you said, started to feel better?
The anxiety, yes, because by that time I felt a little bit more, I think I was more used to having this new member in the house, so I'm starting to get a hang of things. I'm starting to be a little bit more comfortable with what I have to do and what I need to do and how to do it. Mm-hmm. So that I think with the knowledge and the experience that helped with me being more comfortable to being out with him.
And so you did start a support group at some point for the, as you mentioned, because I run a group on the weekdays, but for working moms, that's not very helpful. So how has that been?
Yeah, so after I watched that documentary, When the Bow Breaks, I was just thinking, oh my gosh, there's so many women out there that are keeping all this to themselves because of the, you know, it's pretty obvious the stigma around depression. People are so embarrassed to talk about it and everything. And then I just thought, I want to be someone who can help other moms. Mm-hmm. You know, I may not be able to help them get out of, you know, whatever feelings and all that they're dealing with, but at least I can talk to them, have someone that they could talk to. Yeah, at least vent their problems, vent their challenges and their stresses, and just kind of let them know that, you know, well, you're not alone. You're not going through this by yourself. There's so many of us out there that are going through the same thing. Just to kind of like be a year for them to have someone to talk to and that kind of stuff. Just, you know, basically for support.
So I've had listeners before who are looking to start their own local support group. Do you have any tips for people for like what works or what doesn't work?
You know, I don't really know for sure because I'm still trying to figure out what is this that works. Oh, this is my son Apex.
Hi.
Hi, baby. Because I started my support group, I want to say last August.
Mm-hmm.
The turnout hasn't been all that great, and I don't know if it's because people are scared to admit that this is what they're going through, or maybe the scheduling is not working out for them. I'm not sure, but I'm just still putting it out there to let them know that this is available to them. So I don't really know any good tips on what worked yet. I'm just hoping that people know my story and then that I'm willing to share my story and people know that I'm here for them.
Yeah, I think that's a big help because, I mean, I've been running my group, oh my gosh, like 4 years now, and the turnout is usually low, and there's weeks where no one comes. And, you know, I bring my laptop or a craft project, so it's not like I'm sitting there bored, but I think it's a tough crowd if you're depressed. I mean, that's why I started the podcast, because if you're depressed, it's hard to get out of the house already, or if you're anxious.
Right. And I think a lot of it is just that people don't want to admit that.
Yes.
They don't know what they're doing, or they don't want to admit that they're having a hard time.
Yeah, or...
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Or they don't want to take the personal time. Like, they feel like, oh, it's the weekend, it's supposed to be all about family time, and they're maybe uncomfortable asking their significant other to watch their child, or, you know, I could come up with a whole host of reasons why people who should be coming to your group are not able to come.
Yeah, but the thing is with the support group, the one that I have on weekends, you know, it's only 1 hour to 2 hours of your time. So it's not like you'll be away from your family for a long time. And, of course, the support group also welcomes, you know, children. And if you can't find a sitter, go ahead and bring your babies, that kind of stuff. Because I'm a mom, you're a mom. We understand that sometimes you just can't find sitters. You can't have your husband or, you know, your partners to watch your child. So, I mean, it's a very, we're trying to create just like a safe space for them to be comfortable and to talk about. I mean, and then they don't necessarily have to share their story if they don't feel comfortable, but at least they know that there's people out there that are struggling. So they're not the only ones. So they don't feel alone and then they're struggling on the inside by themselves.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful that you've started this. And I know you're helping moms, even if they don't show up, just knowing that something like this exists validates the way they feel.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
Well, you know, before I let you get back to Apex, do you have any final thoughts or things that we missed that we should have covered?
I don't know, because I'm quite new at this, so I'm not sure. But any listeners out there, if, you know, I'm pretty much available for support or for, you know, listening to your struggles, you can feel free to email me at wearestrongmoms@gmail.com, and I'll answer your emails as soon as I can. But just know that you guys are not alone out there.
Well, thank you, Rita, so much for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me, Courtney.
So that's it for this week. Thank you, Rita, so much for sharing your story and for all the work you've been doing to raise awareness about maternal mood disorders. Show notes will be available at ppdadventures.com. As usual, if you listen to this within the first 24 hours of it showing up on your feeds, you may be so fast listening to the episode that I don't have the show notes up. But, you know, within 24 hours, the show notes will be up. If you are interested in sharing your story on a future episode, you can email me, Courtney@ppdadventures.com. And, you know, we can set things up on your time frame. I've had our guest next week emailed me and Tyra, and she was like, I'm ready to share my story and I want to share it now while I'm in the real darkness. So it's a really great episode because she has her second child and she's had, I'm going to wait for it for next week, but it's just, she's in the darkness of a maternal mood disorder. And I think it's going to be an episode that's really helpful for all of you listeners who are in the darkness right now, because it's one thing to be, hey, I survived the darkness and here's me looking back and sharing my journey. And it's another thing to be like, I am here. Because once I think anxiety and depression and any mood disorder is something that you only truly understand when you're in it. And then you can look at it back and understand, and it's a different experience. So I'm really excited for next week's interview. And anyway, all that was to say that Tyra, you know, emailed, it was like, I really want to do this as soon as possible. So, you know, boom, we got it done really quickly. But other moms, you know, sometimes we email for like literally a year, and that's okay. Like we all have different time frames, and sometimes it just takes, you know, a certain amount of like emotional and mental preparation, and, or, you know, things just get easier every month with a child. So like, you know, you might be in a place where you're like, I can't imagine sharing my story right now. And then in a year, your kid's in preschool and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm ready. I want to share. So whenever you're ready, let me know. And whatever your time frame is, we'll figure it out. And it's so good to be back here. And I have lots of fun episodes coming up, and, you know, okay, I'm going to stop rambling. Postpartum depression, anxiety, OCD, all the maternal mood disorders are incredibly isolating and can make you feel like you are truly the only person who has ever felt this way. But you're not. You are not alone. There are thousands and thousands of women and men, dads get this too, in the darkness with you right now. And with support from professionals and loved ones, you can and will make a full recovery. And this is not your fault. You did not do anything wrong. You did not do anything to bring this on you. I don't care what your story is. This is not your fault. I love you, and I hope you have a wonderful week.